Okay, second part, the first part is about relational. It's the heart, the foundation of being relationally intelligent. The second part is the intelligence part. Sino sa inyo may katabi mukhang intelligence? Okay, baka pwedeng sila rin yung mag-session ito. But the relational part, we love people, we see them as the highest value. But one of the challenges is for us to be able to convey that in a clear way that they would know they're loved and valued. We sometimes, all of us love our kids. All of us value our kids really, really, really highly. And yet sometimes, I know very rare because we're pastors and pastors' wives. Very rare. We're able to say things and do things that doesn't communicate, that don't communicate, that we value them. That happens very rare in this table. Maybe some other pastor's wives, but not this. Where your child feels like, why are you doing this? You're so harsh, mom. But we value them. And then we tend to add fuel to the fire by saying, but you don't understand. I do that because I value you. And the more they feel like, you really don't value me. So, but the heart is there. And of course, the wives always convey value to their husbands. But the husbands sometimes love you so much next to God. Talagang panay ang patronizing, di ba? But the husband, sometimes we value our wives. I'm speaking on behalf of all the pastors. We love you second only to God. And yet, many times we do stupid stuff. That, oh, may nag-amen dito. Ayan na. We say the stupidest things that make you feel like, I don't feel valued with this. And this is the reason why the intelligence part, the second part, is very important. That's why we tell our husbands, attend ka nga ng marriage booster, mag-couples retreat tayo, han. Pa-counsel tayo. Kaya tayo may mga marriage booster, couples retreat, parenting seminar, mentoring, counseling. Why? Because heart is not enough. We need interpersonal skills. And that's where the intelligence part comes in. The intelligent part of RI means learning effective interpersonal skills. And one of the most helpful for me when it comes to practical interpersonal skills is in Matthew 7, verse 12. We're all aware of this. This is the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. The best guiding principle for effective interpersonal skills come from Jesus teaching himself the golden rule. The golden rule, do to others what you want them to do to you. Iba, nami-mix up yung golden rule. Do to others before they do it unto you. Unahan muna, hindi yun ang golden rule. I just want to clear that up. The golden rule is do to others what you want them to do unto you. Now, with people relating to you, what do you want them to do to you when they relate to you? How many of you want people to appreciate you? We want to be appreciated, so let's appreciate people. We want people to affirm us, so let's affirm people. We want people to say hi to us. So many times in a gathering, instead of I go there and I say, oh, nobody said hi to me. If I want them to say hi to me, why don't I do it first? Because they want me to say hi to them. Whatever that is, we want people to encourage us. Then let us encourage them. We want people to understand us and not judge us. So let's understand them and not judge them. We want people to be considerate to us. We want people to, if we're not able to answer a text, we want them to not think that we're just don't like to answer. We want them to think we're busy and we're... So when somebody doesn't answer our text, let's not judge and let's be considerate. We want people to forgive us. We want people to listen to us. We want people to be gentle with us. We want people to make us feel good about ourselves. How many of you want to be with someone and they Every time you're with them, you don't feel good. You like that? You want to be with someone who every time you're with them, you feel good about yourself. There was a story of a young woman during the 1800s, the latter part of the 1800s in England, where two rival politicians, statesmen, very, very smart, very great leaders, William Gladstone and Benjamin Disraeli. And she was able to have dinner with them on the same dining table, in fact, seated with them on two consecutive nights. And there was a reporter who interviewed the young woman and said, how does it feel like? What's your impression of Mr. Gladstone? And she said, wow, after talking, I was conversing with him. We were seated together at the table. After talking with him, I thought he was the cleverest man in England. I said, wow, how about with Mr. Disraeli? I said, oh, that's a different thing. After talking with him, I feel like I'm the cleverest woman in England. Which is what we want to feel. We don't want to come across with someone where we feel like, I know everything and I'm teaching everything. You know, this is how to do it. And they feel like, wow, you're so good. You're such a great leader. But we want them to feel like, I'm so good and I'm such a good leader and I can do it. And that's the golden rule. Now, some very important skills for us to develop practically. This is not everything. I tried to think of some very practical things that can help us, that have helped me, and I'm trying to continually develop in my life. Some very important practical skills to develop as we learn the intelligence part of relational intelligence. Number one is communication skills. Now, communication seems easy, yet it is very difficult. One of the top three most common problems of marriages, one is communication. It's very difficult because there are many barriers to communication. The reason why, how many of you have ever felt like sometimes you felt like you've been misunderstood? You felt that? And sometimes you feel like, why can you not understand? And you feel like, why? It's so clear. To you, it's clear. But to your husband, it's not. To you, it's clear. To your kids, it's not. To you, it's clear. To your staff, it's not. To you, it's clear. Why? Because there are barriers. And we think it's clear to us. It should be clear to them. But that's the reason why we have to continually upgrade our communication skills. Some of the barriers, and that's the reason why we need to be mindful of the differences. One of the differences we need to be mindful of is culture. We're not just talking about American culture and Filipino culture. I really appreciate Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve obviously has a lot of cultural barrier when it comes to communicating with us on a relational level. But through the years, he has adjusted so much in trying to adjust the way he speaks and communicates to us. He came from Jackson, Mississippi, and came here, very different worlds. But he always has it in mind. There is a difference with the way I communicate things. And he adjusts that. He is mindful of that culture difference. Sometimes we might think, pare-pareho tayong Pilipino, parehong culture. Not so. Different cities, different regions. Maybe you're from the north and now you're assigned to the Mindanao area. Now there's a different culture right there. Or maybe you're from Manila and now you're assigned to a small province and that's a different culture. Or you're from the province and you're assigned to a big city and that's another different culture. So we have to be mindful of that. Or maybe even with family culture. That's why sometimes you get married and in your family, it's a culture of confrontation and combat and okay lang. Kumusta ka? Okay ka ba dyan? Bakit ka ganyan? Pero natural lang sa inyo yun. Parang, honey! Yung ganun, parang sa inyo hindi offensive yun. Pero yung culture ng kabila, yung husband mo, hindi. What? Kailangan. So we have to be mindful. There are culture barriers. There are differences. It might be clear to you, it's not clear to them. American culture, I remember an evangelist, hindi naman naka-podcast to, di ba? An evangelist from America, na itatago na lang natin sa pangalang, hindi, wag na. I was a new pastor in Los Baños. New pastor, insecure, I didn't know anything. He came there and so every time he would call me, psst, come here. Na, may mga Amerikano na ba kayong ganun? Ako kulang na lang, gumanan ako. Parang, gusto ko mag-roll eh. Alam mo yung parang... But anyway, he would always call me that. But for me, hindi ko napapansin. Siguro sobrang insecure ko na kailangan okay lahat. And sometimes some people would say, why does he call you like that? Parang kang aso. But for them, it's culture. Hindi ganun sa aso. Sa culture, it's culture. For them, it's not. So there's always culture barriers. Another barrier is gender barrier. Okay, for women, and I really appreciate women. One time, I was seated with a group of women in the province, and they were talking. And I can't keep up with the topic. I was so tired trying to keep up. I was trying. I was really, really trying. And then I said, please, can we just stick to one topic at a time? Please. And they said, what? We're on topic every time. I said, no, you're not. Ang, sa mga women, they feel like, alam mo yung dugtungan, kung saan ka mag-end na word, dun ka mag-topic, connected na yon. Diba? Alam mo yung mall? Mall! Meron ako nakita, nagpagupit ako, yung buhok ko ang haba, buhok! And then, ay, nagpakulay ako, brown. Brown ang sapatos ko ngayon. Binili ko sa US. US! Di ba pa? And sila nga, hilong-hilo na ako. Dugtungan ng laro eh. Ang dahan-dahan lang. But that's a gender problem, isn't it? Mga lalaki naman, diretso lang. You probably, your husband probably is on the phone. Diba, nag-usap sila ng trabaho, ng mga 30 minutes. Tapos pagbaba, sinabi mo, oh, anong pinag-usapan nyo? Wala naman. Anong wala? 30 minutes, wala-wala lang. Diba? Wala. Eh sa amin ganun, wala lang yun. Talagang wala lang yun. Marami pa. Anyway, can go on and on. But there's a gender barrier. Okay? It's clear to us, not clear to you. It's clear to you, not clear to us. Generational barrier. Diba yung isa, basa-basa din ang Bible, pag may time, ikaw parang, anong pag may time? Dapat, wala na nakakaalam masyado dito. Ganun ang linggo ng mga kabataan ngayon. Okay? Basa-basa din pag may time, feeling mo, masyado kang complacent sa Bible reading mo. It's just something I say. Diba? So minsan, may ganun din, may barrier. Akala mo, wala nang fire. Akala mo, yung pala, ganun lang sila magsalita. So, here are some practical tips in communication skills, verbal tips. In our words, we need to choose our words carefully. Choose our words carefully. The Bible says this in Proverbs, with many words, sin is not absent. Now, who has more... That's more words, men or women? Baka hindi na ako pabalikin dito. 25,000 words a day. Men have 10,000. For some women, it's 50,000 words a day. But be careful with our words. When we're in a meeting or when we're discussing, some practical things, words, phrases, if we're suggesting something, if there's an idea we have, it would be good to put it in the form of a question instead of saying, I think this is a good idea. This might be good, what do you think? Ibang-iba na yung dating. Parang, I have a brilliant idea. Why don't we do this? Do this, honey. Yung pastor. Ako pastor dito, bakit? But anyway, but honey, what do you think? Put it in a form of a question. Sometimes, and we're learning this, even with us as pastors here. If you disagree, instead of just saying, I don't agree with you, I think that's wrong, I think it's a dumb idea. Maybe you can say, maybe it's just me. But it's a jump idea. Wag yung sabihin. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like this might not work. Okay? Or I'm just thinking out loud, or I just feel like. Sometimes you put, maglagay ka na agad ng disclaimer, I might be wrong on this, but I'll just say it anyway. Although you know you're always right, but I might be wrong, but, or this is just how I feel. We have to avoid sarcastic tone or condescending tone. Condescending, yung parang walang alam. Yung mga, alam mo, ganito lang yan eh. Wala akong alam, ganon. Parang, alam mo, simple lang yan. Yung mga, and I know our hearts sometimes, we don't want to condescend on people, but that's how it feels. Like, ang bobo ko. So, you know, I think it's better the volume of our voice sometimes. So we have to, in the punch, nonverbal, body language. There's a communication, di ba? May lumapit. Ano, sabang nakikipag-usap, gumaganon ka. I love you, I value you. Pero yung lumalayo ka, yung mga facial expression. Smile, just make sure. Yung, so may mga tingin kang, hindi ako galit. Ganto lang mukha ko talaga, di ba? At some point, we are responsible for our faces. The way we come across. At some point, we can never say, hindi ako, ayoko ngumiti eh. Hindi ako palang ngiti. At some point, we have to be responsible. Facial expression. Sometimes, di ba, may nag-open up yung mga, ganyan ang struggle mo, ano ka ba? Well, control natin ng konti. Facial expression, eye contact. Somebody's talking to you. Tapos text ka ng text. Oh, ganun. Sorry, I feel for you. Tapos text ka pa rin. Let me pray for you. Tapos, okay, ang dami mong iniisip. Yung habang kinakausap. Di ba, mga wives, mothers, ang daming iniisip. Habang kinakausap ka, hindi mo napapansin, tumitingin-tingin ka na. Tapos yung ginaganon mo na. Sige, parang anong nangyayari kay ate, di ba? Parang, iniisip mo pala yung mga anak mo, may worry ka pala, nasa ospital. Pero let's try to look at them. Eye contact, gestures. I was just thinking. Pero yung gesture mo, ang lakas, di ba? Maybe we can do this. Ang nanginginig pa. Yung, so be very careful, verbal, nonverbal. Learn to listen. Listening to what they say and listening to what they're not saying, especially women, they say a lot of things they're not saying. And uuwi ako mamaya, gantong oras, okay lang ba? Bahala ka. Ah, bahala ako? Okay. Di mo ba nakita yung tono ko? Yeah, parang, di ba minsan, ganun mga women. So you have to know and listen to what they say and what they're not saying. And then it's always good to clarify. It's always good to say, so you're saying this. Is this what you mean? This is what I'm getting. Am I getting it right? Is it? So instead of just trying to assume you got it or you understood it, then it will always be good to clarify. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I get. And then empathize. In communication skills, empathy is very, very important. All feelings are valid. We can never correct someone for feeling something because it's a natural emotion. But not all feelings are right. There's a big difference of about valid and right. When they start responding to the emotion in a wrong way, then that's wrong. So empathy is validating what they feel. It's not telling them, don't feel this way. You should not be feeling this way. It's like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Now let's respond the right way. So it's empathy is very important in communication skills. Next skill, confrontation. Now, Asian culture, Philippine culture, the moment you say confrontation, there's a negative connotation right away. But confrontation It can be a couple of things. You confront because you want to correct or instruct. Or you confront because you want to clarify. Now, this is very important. Clarification, especially the bigger we get. The smaller it is, lagi kayong magkasama, lagi kayong nag-uusap, you don't need much clarification. But the bigger we get, the busier we get, we need to confront to clarify. So that's not necessarily a negative thing right away. And what are some practical tips for that? When you're going to confront, do it personally, privately, and immediately. I always try to make it a rule, it's personal. Of course, if you're just going to clarify, anong oras tayo magkikita? Huwag ka na magpa-appointment, di ba? Anong hindi tayo clear, anong oras magkikita? Pero if it's something serious, I always say never do it through text, especially. Never do it through text. Because if they just see a text, they don't know the emotion of what you're trying to say. And they are very open to put emotions in your text. Malimutan mo lang mag-smiley dyan. Feeling na nila, ay, galit ito. And then pag women pa yung tinext mo, women have movies in their mind, right? Mas kung ano-ano nang isip. Yung pala, walang meaning. Nag-text ka lang. Especially, di ba, pag... I remember during the early days, pag leader mo, especially if it's your leader, usap tayo. Pag tinext ka, usap tayo. Usap kami. Hindi na makatulog yan. Ano bang ginawa ko? Anong... So it's always good to do it personally, not text. Pag na-caps, kinapital mo, nagkamali ka lang. Hindi mo naman minimin, pero all caps yung naglagay mo. Tapos accidentally, napindot mo pa yung exclamation point. Iba na yung dating nun. Ah, galit ka. Di galit din ako. Then magte-text na kayo. And before you know it, it's blown up. So it gets overblown. So if you have a chance, do it personally. Do it privately. We all know this, even with our kids. Don't confront our kids publicly or so privately and immediately. If it's something really important and urgent and big, it is very good. It is very good if we say it if we say it right away. It's very difficult to say. Let's talk. For example, after a month, and you say, "Can we talk?" And you know, there was a time you said this. Said, when? 10 years ago? 10 years ago? Talagal na. So you begin to say things that they don't even remember. And then when they don't remember, you feel like, so now you're denying it. It's probably because they just really don't remember. So immediately, with personally, privately, immediately. Clarify issues with tact. If you're going to clarify, again, comes with communication. Very important when we confront and talk to someone, we set the tone of the conversation right away. So several words or phrases that could ease the tension would be appreciated. Don't forget to affirm. Don't forget to affirm your relationship, your trust, or the way you look at this person. Or next is conflict resolution. We talk about conflict resolution. Whether we're the ones resolving a conflict with someone or we're the ones mediating the conflict resolution. The first thing we have to be reminded of is there are always two sides to a story. First, when we are trying to resolve a conflict, if somebody goes to us first, and too many times if you're... Women are more emotional. If they started giving out their story, we get sucked in our emotion, and we feel like, I can't believe they did that. Why? And so now you're already on this side. We have to always remember there are two sides of the story. Try to detach your emotions first and try to think, okay, this is your view, and I hear it, but I want to hear the other side. Or maybe with you, you're trying to resolve conflict, and you're burning, and you're thinking. That's your side. We have to hear the other side. That's why this is important that we talk and clarify. In conflict resolution, again, I've learned this from Pastor Steve, the commitment to repent and forgive. Because it's not just about who's right or wrong. It's about honoring God, and it's about restoring the relationship. Whenever I mediate conflicts, I always say there should be a commitment on both sides to repent and forgive. Forgive because there's probably offenses that have been hurled on each other, and they need to forgive. But repent means you have a part on this. Every time there's a conflict, both sides always have a responsibility for it. You might not be the one who started it, but your response made it become a conflict. So everybody takes responsibility for their action, and everybody forgives. And again, we have to see the bigger picture. We are a spiritual family. We want to maintain that atmosphere. We want to set aside those things and say, okay, you've offended me, I'm going to forgive. I responded the wrong way, so I'm going to repent and try to change it. We always have to keep the bigger picture in mind. We always have to think we have relational unity, we have missional unity. There's something bigger that we can accomplish together. I was looking at Paul and Barnabas, and of course, God is sovereign. God was able to fulfill whatever purpose He has for Paul and Silas. But can you just imagine? So I was reading that. What could have happened if Paul and Barnabas stayed together? They've done great things before that split. But if they stayed together, what could have happened? And so let's always keep that in mind. If we're not gonna fix this, what's gonna happen? But if we fix this, what can we do together? So that's with the conflict resolution. Next is collaboration. You know, the bigger we get, we always believe in this. We don't believe in just doing things alone. It's always teamwork. If we're gonna be successful in our churches, it always takes a team. Now, teamwork, one of the keys to teamwork is collaboration. Steve Jobs is very big on the word collaboration with Apple. The way they even design the office, if anybody's going to go to the restroom, they would all see each other. He said one of the reasons why some big companies fail is because it's all departmentalized and they're just thinking about their own department. So I'm the engineering department, we do this, and then we give it to the design, and then it's your part. We've done our part. But it's collaboration for us, and collaboration is not easy because it takes trust. We have to trust that if we do something and another department would say, well, you did not really do a great job there, we have to trust and believe in the best in people. We have to believe in the best in their motive, in their action. It is very easy to try to interpret what they mean, to interpret what their motive is. But we have to trust, we have to consider, we have to think, maybe the reason why they're not able to deliver is because maybe they have problems. Let me talk to them. Let me clarify. So I jump to the conclusion and say, well, they're always not productive. They're always lazy. So instead of always concluding the negative, let's try to be positive and believe in the best in the people that we work with. Collaboration also would entail respect, because there's diversity in a team, and that's what makes a team effective. Respecting each other's opinion, respecting each other's inputs. That's the reason why we defer to one another. A lot of times, even if we feel so strongly about an idea, you feel like this is the right thing to do, and then two or three of your teammates says otherwise, and you begin to think, maybe I'm wrong, because there's respect. Maybe I'm the one who's wrong. I might not see it yet, but I'm willing to defer because there's respect, because there's diversity. They see things that probably I don't see. Humility. In collaboration, humility is important, considering others better than yourself. Again, it's all there in the scripture we just read. A couple of more things, and then we're going to end. Handling offenses. If you've been offended, How many of you have ever been offended before? How many of you have been offended now? If you've been offended, usually here's the first step. Some are confrontational, right away you offend me, I'll talk to you. That's good, but I feel like the first step when somebody offends you, the first step is to overlook an offense. Proverbs says, it is to a person's glory to overlook an offense. If you can overlook the offense, habaan natin yung, let's just make sure we put allowances. If we can overlook, let's overlook. Let's not confront and correct and every little thing. There are things that we can overlook, let's overlook it. And it's sometimes harder for women. For men, we can box things, right? So you do this, I box that, and we'll not be affected with this. But for women, everything is connected. And we live in a culture, we live in a Philippine culture where it's a soap opera culture. It's a victim mentality culture. You did that to me, how dare you? I discipled you when you were a baby. I've given my best. I've sacrificed for you. How will you not smile to me? And you think you're so big and you think. And so we feel so much with the very small things. We have to try, by the grace of God, to overlook. Not interpret, not guess what it means. And then if there are things you cannot overlook, we don't deny it. I'll say, no, I'm over with that offense. But that you, instead of holding a grudge, let's confront privately. And every time, it's always good if you're offended, every time you would talk to someone who has offended you, maybe they're not, most of the time they're not aware they offended you. So we sit down and we share what we feel. We don't tell them what they've done wrong. That's very important. Too many times if I'm offended, I go and I say, you know, you did this and you did this, it hurt me. So it's accusative already. It's already pointing out what you did wrong instead of coming and saying, you know, when you said this, this is how I felt. So it's coming from a point of view of me, not you. It's not your problem. It's my problem. I had this problem and I'm hoping you're going to respond to it. And so there's, and then the third step, if you cannot be reconciled together privately among the two of you, between the two of you, then bring in others who can help restore the relationship. Others that you both trust and respect that could help the relationship. Restore the relationship. Lastly, handling criticisms. Part of leadership is getting criticized. Remember, even good people get criticized. Even Jesus, the perfect one, got criticized. So we're not above that. One of the things that I've learned from Pastor Steve is he always tells us, don't take people's comments about you too seriously, whether good or bad. If it's good, don't take it too seriously. It's overly exaggerated. You're not that good. I said, okay, thank you, Pastor Steve. And then if it's bad, most of the time there is a truth to that. But again, it's probably overly exaggerated. So whatever criticism you get, we have to listen to it, but we should not be too affected with it. Next, listen to the critic, not just the criticism. In other words, what can you learn from it? It's easy to dismiss, especially if the way it was said was in a bad spirit. It's very easy to dismiss it. Oh, it's just a critical spirit, rebellious spirit. But it's always good to listen. There might be an ounce of truth to that criticism, no matter how badly it was said. No matter how trivial the issue is, it's always good to listen. No matter how unimportant the person is, it's always good to listen. And no matter how bad the spirit was when it was said, it's always good to listen and think, what can I learn from this and how can I improve? And then lastly, about handling criticism, always be committed to forgive. Again, everyone gets criticized. Welcome to leadership. That's part of it. As I end, let's just continually, as pastors, let's just continually create a culture of trust, because the foundation of all this is trust. I hope we create a culture of trust among our people where they are free to speak up to disagree with us. They're free to speak up to bring up negative feedback to us. I hope we don't stifle it. I hope we don't try to stop them from saying it. I hope we can create that culture where even our staff, the newest staff, or any member for that matter, will be able to say it freely, knowing they will not be judged nor be labeled as critical and rebellious. And again, it goes back to us. We can create that culture together. Also, we can create a culture of trust where people are empowered to talk to someone else other than you when they have issues. And that's what I love about our church in Victory. Pastor Steve, Pastor Joey, Pastor Manny, they've tried to create a culture where you're not just connected to one leader. Multi-anchor connections of leaders that we're not... Sometimes you feel like, oh, let's just contain this issue among us. Don't let this go don't let this go to Bishop. Or don't let this go here. It's just us. It would be good if we empower our leaders, our pastors, our staff to be able to talk to anyone who could really help them with their issues. And again, it takes a relational, intelligent leader to be able to create that culture. As I end, this is going to be our activity for this session. There's a relational intelligence self-assessment in the book, and I think it's in your handout. I'm going to try to read this. There are 7 skills that book tries to help us develop, and we're going to read it together. Let me explain each one of them, and then we're going to do some activity after reading this. Here are some interpersonal skills that this book is suggesting for us to develop. First is self-awareness. One of the ways that you can be good at relational intelligence is when you are self-aware. All of us have blind spots. And sometimes, have you ever met people like this? They think they're really good in people's skills, and you're thinking, oh gosh, you have no idea. They think they're really interesting to talk to, the way they talk, and you can't wait to get out of the conversation. Oh gosh, you're just waiting for them to breathe. Excuse me, I'm gonna go. But they're not aware. So the starting point of being relational intelligent is self-awareness. You need to know what you're good at and what you're bad at, and when it comes to interpersonal skills. Okay, so that's the first, self-awareness. The second is the story collector. He calls it the story collector. These are the relational intelligent people who are genuinely interested in the story of other people's lives. And when we talk about being interested in their story, it's not being interested. It doesn't mean you have to be interested in every detail of their life. When did you study? Or when were you born? Then when you were 1 year old, what happened? That's going to take a long time. But a good relationally intelligent person is able to discover what's interesting in the life of that person. And you're very interested with that. And you're able to get that and draw it out from them. And that takes developing listening skills and drawing it out in people. There are people, Michael Pederis' job is very good with this, story collector. Third is the energy carrier. These are the relational intelligent people who know how to change the energy in the room. You know people like that? Yung parang there's tension, staff meeting, there's tension. And there's unhealthy conflict. It's not a healthy conflict anymore. And then somebody comes in and diffuses the tension. That's relational intelligence. And so, it's all sad and gloomy, and somebody comes in, and then you become happy as a group. That's the energy carrier. And they're able to bring in energy because they manage the energy in their internal world properly. Number four, the compelling relator. This is the relationally intelligent people who have mastered the art of becoming more interesting to people. How many of you have ever talked with someone like that? You just like talking to them because they're interesting. Like when you talk to them, you like talking to them. You're drawn to them because they understand in a conversation and relating with people, they understand the importance of relevance. They understand passion, intentionality in conversation. They know when to change a topic. They know how to do it. They know how to adjust the way they communicate. They're very flexible. And so they're very interesting to talk to. And number five, the conversational futurist. These are the relationally intelligent people who are able to discern the invisible dynamics in a conversation. And they are able to steer the conversation forward with intentionality, clarity, and wisdom. They're very intentional when they're conversing with a group of people. They know where to take it. And then all of the group, they don't even know that this guy is leading the conversation to the topic that he wants to lead them. That's relational intelligence. Number six, the likable hero. The likable hero is the relationally intelligent person who has the ability to evoke favorable feelings with the people they relate with in order to produce a positive outcome. Influencers, they establish authentic connections with people, and people around them they feel valued and cared about. Likeable people are enjoyable to be around. And they are the people, you've ever met people like this, they're just likeable, you want to hang out with them, you really feel good every time you're with them. That's number six. And number seven, the disproportionate investor. The relationally intelligent person knows how to steward their relational energy. And this is very important. All of us, and Pastor Joey is one proponent of the Lego principle, that all of us have different capacities of connections. Pastor Ryan, our youth pastor, if his Lego piece connects, it's probably two. I probably have six. Somebody has 20. Somebody has... So it doesn't mean that you're not relational because you relate with two. Again, it's not about how many you relate with, but the relationally intelligent people, they're self-aware and they know their relational energy, and how they steward it means they invest wisely in the right kind of people so that they could expand their influence. So those are the seven. There's a lot more. But the activity we're going to do today is this. Look at those seven relationally intelligent skills and try to personally rate yourself 1 to 10. For example, self-awareness. How self-aware am I? You put 10. I know what my strengths are. And then number two, the story collector. I'm not a good listener. I'm just 8 or I'm 6. Can we try to do that? I'll give you time to do that, and then we're going to do something else after that. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself with each one of those? It'll probably take maximum of 2 minutes. 10 is the highest. No copying. 1 to 10 lang, wala negative. So there's only negative 5 here. The last few seconds. 1 to 10. 10 is the highest. 1 is the lowest. Last 10 seconds. We're done. Okay. Here's the next activity. We're gonna partner with someone who knows you well enough. We can get out of our tables. Get someone who knows you well enough. Get a partner. And then as you get your partner, don't show them the scores you have for yourself. For example, self-awareness. I put it there, 10. I'm not going to show Kathy. And then from there, I'll go first. you know me well enough. How do you rate me in my self-awareness? Pag-aawayin natin kayo. How do you rate me? And Kathy would say, 1. I thought I was 10, but she said I was 1. And then we can discuss it a little bit. Why? So I think this would be good for us, our self-awareness. This is a good interpersonal skill, how you say it, how you receive it. So this is a pretty good exercise already. Can we do that? Can you get someone who knows you well enough? Partner, let's all get a partner. And then we're gonna take turns. Don't show what you scored yourself. It's a good practice of what we're talking about. How you say it, communication, how you receive it. And if you don't have anyone who knows you well enough, it's time to build. Okay, a few more seconds. Okay, wag muna ah. Don't start yet. How many of you don't have a partner yet? Raise your hand. There's one here. How many else? How many more you don't have a partner? Everybody's got a partner. Except, can you just help us just make sure everybody's got a partner? Okay, let's start. Agree. Let's agree first. Not three in a group. Hopefully, it's just a partner. Let's get a partner. Okay, agree first. Who's going to go first? Hey, who's going to go first? You rate me first. What do you think? Is my score in number 1? What do you think is my score in number 2? Okay, let's go. Let's start now. Okay, let's start now. If you're done, let the other person rate you this time. Okay, by now, the other person should be giving you feedback already about what she thinks your score is with a 7. Okay, let's finish up. Okay, let's finish up with this. Last 10 seconds. More time. Sabi kasi we need to break now. I have to take a break. Break na. Oh, okay. Okay, please listen up. I know it's hard to break the conversations of women. I don't know if anybody's listening to me right now. Okay, please listen. Everybody look up here. We're going to take a break. If you want to continue while you have coffee and talk, this helps us become more self-aware. How many of you didn't have a fight with the person that you that rated you? Congratulations, you're now relationally intelligent. Palakpakan mo naman yan. Wow, you've improved. And I hope it helped us become self-aware. Sometimes that's the biggest thing we need to do. We need to have somebody who'd always point us to the right direction when it comes to being relationally intelligent. Again,